When I was 9 years old, I had my first, though certainly not my last, God crisis. Now, as with any good crisis of faith, a number of factors happened to coincide in such a way and such a sequence that it felt overwhelming and enormous. Here's the basic outline of what happened to bring about this massive God crisis. Factor number one. I asked my mother in the car one day whether we Unitarian Universalists believed in God. There had been some God talk at school, God was in the Pledge of Allegiance under God, and so on. Note the "we," though, in my question about whether we Unitarian Universalists believed in God. The answer I remember getting was good, probably exactly what I would tell a 9-year-old who was asking that same question. Something along the lines of, well, some Unitarian Universalists believe in God, and others think that the old man in the sky God is a little silly, and some call God the spirit of love, and you can believe whatever you want. I remember feeling a little confused and like it didn't really answer the question that I was asking. Factor number two. In this conversation, my mother pointed out that I was not actually required to say the Pledge of Allegiance at school if I didn't want to. Thank you to my mom for instilling the idea that acts of conscience are acceptable reasons for breaking the rules. And so I decided that I didn't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance because it had the word God in it, and I wasn't sure whether or not I believed in God. And then I ran into another problem, which led to factor number three of my God crisis. I grew up in a predominantly Catholic town, and there were a number of occasions where I was asked, "Do you believe in God?" or "Are you Catholic?" by the other kids at school, and I found myself simply squirming. I didn't want the other kids to make fun of me for not being Catholic, though I imagine now that they were really just wondering why I wasn't at CCD classes with them. And if I wasn't Catholic and I wasn't Jewish, then what was I? And so my God crisis coalesced around the following. I didn't know whether we, as you use, believed in God, let alone me personally. I didn't feel like I could say the Pledge of Allegiance, which contained the word God, if I didn't know where I stood on the issue. And I couldn't not say the Pledge of Allegiance for fear that I would be asked about it. And finally, if asked about it, I did not know what to say. I wasn't able to talk about or explain Unitarian Universalism to my peers, and I felt alienated and stuck. An existential, bona fide, 9-year-old God crisis. And here's the thing. I didn't want the other kids to ask me about this because I wasn't sure what we believed. I knew what we didn't believe. I knew that we didn't have creeds to memorize. I knew I wasn't growing up Catholic. But when it came down to it, after a decade in Unitarian Universalism, I could not easily describe what we did believe. When I asked my mom about whether we believed in God, what I really wanted to know was that I had the support of my community behind me. I wanted some language to describe our faith. I wanted some sense of who we were as a people. Fast forward another decade to college when I began a campus ministry group at my school. There was another student who I was fairly friendly with named Molly, who was comfortably embedded in her own Jewish tradition. But she was curious about the campus ministry group and the posters that I was putting up. She was also committed to being irreverently and at times obnoxiously funny. And fortunately, while she enjoyed pushing my buttons semi-sarcastically and taking my explanations in exactly the ways I did not mean them, I interpreted her questions as far less antagonistic than my elementary school God questions. So Molly was curious about the campus ministry posters that I was putting up around campus. "So is this a Christian group?" she wanted to know. "Well, not exactly. We kind of used to be Christian," I explained. I hadn't taken UU history then. "Well, then what do you do? Or what do you believe?" she asked. "Well, we light a chalice, which is the symbol of Unitarian Universalism, little cup, little flame. We have fellowship, and we care about the community and about justice and about doing the right thing," I tried to explain. "By fellowship, do you mean pizza?" "Sure. So you're a fire-worshipping, pizza-eating club." "No, I didn't say that." "Well, then what on earth do you do together?" Well, sometimes we have worship. Worship what, the fire or the pizza? It said she was committed to being irreverently funny. The conversation went on like that for a while. And underneath all of her prodding, which admittedly I did find fairly annoying, she too wanted to know why we gathered and what held us together. I wished I had a better answer for her at the time. I grew up in this religion that I love so much with jokes like, what happens when you cross a Unitarian Universalist with an evangelist? Someone who knocks on your door and doesn't know what to say. And while these jokes are a bit of a pet peeve of mine, which is a fair warning to you all, they speak to something within Unitarian Universalism that has been an ongoing challenge for us. It is hard to articulate our convictions and far easier to articulate what we are not. But doing things that are hard is what leads to growth, and aren't we all in need of spiritual growth? This month's theme for spiritual practice here at our church is conviction, the practice of belief and doubt. As individuals, we have our own convictions, beliefs, and doubts, and the same is true of our churches. And here's the thing. It often does not serve us well to be shy about our convictions, about who we are and what we believe. Yet as individuals, we often do not share who we are and what we believe because we may be worried about offending somebody, or we worry that others won't agree, or we worry about being challenged and creating conflict. And some of our churches worry that by openly declaring who we are, we will leave someone out, and we value inclusion. But I believe that it does not serve us, and it does not serve the world, to be shy about our convictions, or to say that we can believe whatever we want as Unitarian Universalists. And I also believe that that's fundamentally untrue. We Unitarian Universalists actually do have an incredible diversity and freedom of belief when it comes to abstract, big-picture theology. Big questions like, is there a God, and what happens after you die? These can and do have incredible diversity among Unitarian Universalists. My mom was completely right about this. Some UUs believe that there is a God and some don't, and I could wrestle with what felt right and choose in my own time and in my own heart. But here's where I wish I had some more tools to help me explain my own faith tradition and understand it better. And I wished I could have explained it to my classmates for whom God was the most important piece of their faith. Because there's another type of belief that guides our lives and our actions. The lived, practical, relational theology that answers questions about how we should treat one another and what we should do with the precious time we have here on earth. And on that level, I actually believe that Unitarian Universalists do draw boundaries, and we do have some consensus around those beliefs. This is not an objective or measurable question. It is an existential question that we are asking ourselves. When we talk about conviction, belief, and doubt, we are asking, who are we as a people? What holds us together? Where do we put our stakes in the ground as communities and as individuals? There's a tension inherent in drawing boundaries that articulate who we are, and there is a fear that we might cast some people outside of those boundaries if we do that. And as I said, we do value inclusion, but even our value of inclusion is something that we believe in. We can and should articulate who we are and invite others to join us in that endeavor, and be open to changing and growing and expanding as we learn more. But our drawing boundaries and saying who we are doesn't have to come along the lines of excluding certain social groups or identities that have been historically excluded or oppressed. It does not have to mean that we aren't radically hospitable to people who may hold different beliefs than us. Articulating what we believe does mean that we have a chance to be more honest and authentic about who we are. Last spring, I went to a Sunday assembly gathering to check it out. Sunday Assembly is a new emerging godless congregation that claims to keep all the best bits of church but with no religion and awesome pop songs. Sunday assemblies have been described by some as analogous to Unitarian Universalism but without the history and tradition and a little bit less Protestant worship formats. And it had been gaining attention, so I thought I would check it out. One of the core tenets of Sunday assemblies is that they are radically inclusive. Everyone is welcome regardless of their beliefs. They say that it is a place of love that is open and accepting. Does that sound familiar? One of the people that I went with commented on this, saying essentially that he thought that they were either lying or that they were wrong. Would they be radically inclusive of a white supremacist, he asked, knowing that that would, perhaps, by default, exclude people of color? I agreed with this assessment, and I wrestled with the fact that the same rhetoric is so often used within Unitarian Universalism. And this is not a new challenge for our tradition. In 1946, theologian and minister James Luther Adams wrote about a very similar phenomenon within the Unitarian Church. He wrote, "Doctrinal tests are not the only way to determine the character of a community, but if the community possesses no recognizable form and criterion other than that it offers absolute freedom, then it will be utterly undependable. It will degenerate into faithful and ethical neutrality." Degenerate into ethical neutrality. I do not want to be part of a faith tradition that is ethically neutral. I want to be with a people who have a moral compass as a community, who challenge me to live in an ethical, spirit-filled life, interconnected with others and the world, and I want to be part of a people who support me and hold me accountable when I fall short of that. I want to be part of a people who reflect deeply, who love courageously, who have a vision for a better world. I want to be part of a people who fight against oppression, but more so, I want to be part of a people who fight for more justice and love in the world. And I believe that Unitarian Universalism can be that people in my life. I don't want to be doing the work of making meaning all by myself, and I come to religious community to do that meaning making with other people. I come to church to be reminded that I am part of something larger than myself, and it isn't all about me, and indeed that I don't have to figure it out alone. We all have beliefs, and it matters what those beliefs are. Unitarian Universalists, for instance, have taken a very strong stand on the full inclusion and inherent worth of all people, including GLBTQ individuals. And if you believe that a gay person is going to hell for their sexual orientation, that is going to be incompatible with Unitarian Universalists' fundamental beliefs. So in an effort to do the hard, ongoing work of describing what we do believe instead of what we don't believe, I offer some beliefs that I think Unitarian Universalism does have some consensus about. We believe that some people are not born more worthy of the abundant resources and love and justice on this earth, and others are born less worthy. And so we are called to create a distribution of resources and power that reflects that inherent worth. We have a focus on this life, on this earth, here and now. And the most that we can possibly know in this life about heaven and hell can be found on this earth. And because of that, we are called to try to create heaven on this earth and to destroy those hells that already exist. We believe that revelation is not sealed, meaning that we do not believe that there is a final, definitive word of God that was communicated to one person long ago and written down in just one text. We believe that we have the possibility to grow and change and to learn new things, to find wisdom in many sources, and that each of us has a piece of the truth. We believe in the interconnectedness of life, and we know that we cannot live as isolated individuals, and therefore our choices matter not just to ourselves, but to a larger whole. All of these things are beliefs. To believe in covenants and relationships as more important than doctrines and creeds are indeed, in and of themselves, putting a stake in the ground. All people have beliefs, and communities have beliefs as well. And it is a matter of which beliefs are the ones you are willing to fight for and which beliefs help to create the vision we hope to see in the world. One of the things that impressed me about this church when I was first learning about it was how much this congregation is already doing the hard work of articulating so many of its core beliefs, from the religious education prospectus to the affirmations of faith printed inside the order of service. and how this congregation lives those beliefs in the world. I imagine that we could together come up with a number more things that we believe to add to that list that I started. And yet I know that it is far easier, far less vulnerable, to describe who we are either by defining ourselves by what we are not, or by explaining who we are in vague and noncommittal ways. And while I do understand what we are trying to communicate when we say we can believe whatever we want, without adding nuance, we cut ourselves off from any claim we might have to a moral compass as a people and as a community. We lose the opportunity to connect with the people who are desperately seeking the kind of life-affirming beliefs that this faith has. Good people of Sherborne, I am so excited to be on this journey of faith, exploring our convictions, our beliefs, and our doubts with each and every one of you. As we step into the work of religious community together, I hope that we may find ways to share the depths of our faith with one another, with our children, and with the world. May we be bold in how we claim our faith and how we share our convictions, because I believe, more than anything, that we have a faith that is worth sharing. May it be so, and amen.